This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
A European landmark burns. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Jennifer Koschenka, it is Tuesday, April 16. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The world-famous Notre Dame Cathedral has suffered heavy damage from a fire, with its main spire tumbling over and parts of the majestic roof collapsing.
New cases of measles continue to spike in the U.S., and now researchers say the disease may be more dangerous than initially thought.
Attorney General William Barr is expected to deliver the redacted special counsel's report to Congress and the public on Thursday.
And Tiger Woods gets his next shot at a major when the PGA Tour tees off at Bethpage next month. He's three titles away from the record.
Michael Jordan was the biggest star in American sports. Then Tiger Woods was the biggest star in American sports. Then LeBron James became the biggest star in American sports. That torch never gets passed back until Augusta.
Sports writer Mike Lupica on Tiger Woods coming off the Masters. His analysis is later in the hour. A sickening fire has devastated one of Europe's most recognizable sites, Notre Dame Cathedral. The 855-year-old landmark in the center of Paris was severely damaged yesterday. Parts of the majestic roof burned, and the main spire of the Gothic church collapsed. By last night, hundreds of firefighters had brought the fire under control, and French officials said the massive limestone structure was safe from collapse. No deaths were reported. One firefighter was seriously injured. French President Emmanuel Macron vowed to rebuild. Some of his translated remarks.
Notre Dame is our history, our imagination.
Nos épidémies, nos guerres, nos libérations.
Where we've lived all our great moments.
Notre Dame is a symbol of Paris, celebrated by Roman Catholics and visited by millions of tourists every year. It was unclear how many of the artworks and holy relics held inside the cathedral escaped the fire. The relics include what is believed to be the crown of thorns worn by Jesus Christ during his passion and a piece of the cross on which he was crucified. French authorities said they were investigating how the fire began. The number of new measles cases in the U.S. continues to grow sharply, and now scientists who study the virus say measles may be more harmful than once believed. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported yesterday that there were 555 cases of measles in 20 states this year as of April 11, 90 more than were reported the previous week. The increase in cases means 2019 could soon become the worst for measles in the U.S. since the disease was officially eliminated in the year 2000. One item of note that's not normally discussed, researchers say the virus may leave the immune system in a temporary state of amnesia, leaving the body's defenses unable to remember and effectively attack some invaders that it has seen before. That means immune system memory loss could leave the body prone to other, more severe infections for 2 to 3 years until it relearns from experience how to fend off attackers. Meanwhile, even if you think you've been vaccinated for the measles, ask your doctor to check your immunization record to be sure. Even if you had measles as a child or were born prior to 1957 and are considered immune by the CDC, double check. And that's especially true if you've been to a known exposure site. There's a chance you're not as safe as you think you are. More from Kristen Shamus, reporter at the Detroit Free Press. Kristen, what's up here?
In an outbreak situation, someone who was born between 1957 and 1989, The CDC had these recommendations for one measles, mumps, rubella, which is called the MMR vaccine. So if you were born in that range, odds are the doctor would have told your parents you need one vaccine and you'll be protected. But in about 1989, the CDC changed those recommendations and said people need two vaccines to be fully and adequately protected from measles, especially in an outbreak situation or in a situation where they might be traveling internationally, if they work in a healthcare situation or if they're in a, you know, educational institution or something like that where they're around a lot of people. And so that recommendation went through, but there are a lot of people who were born in that range who just might not have gotten that second vaccine. And ordinarily, one vaccine is enough. When you don't have an outbreak situation,
yeah,
one vaccine will cover you. It's, you know, more than 90% effective. But in an outbreak situation, because measles is so contagious, you might need two. And so that's why doctors and health professionals in this area are saying, you know, we have an outbreak. Check your records. Check your documents. If you don't have any documentation of a measles vaccine, which a lot of people don't have, you know, I'm in my 40s and we don't have any documentation of my vaccine. They say just, you know, go get a shot or talk to your doctor about getting a shot to make sure that that's the best thing for you to do.
Wow. All right. So clarify. So in 1989, the CDC said you need the second one, or you need the second one if there's ever an outbreak?
Well, the CDC started routinely vaccinating children with two. They started giving all children, you know, as sort of like the recommendation. They'll say, okay, you'll get one between 12 and 15 months old, and then another one between the ages of 4 and 6. So all children started getting them right about that, and that offers the best protection. That is the best protection against measles, is two vaccines. But the problem is that there were quite a few people in that age range who never got that second dose. And ordinarily, that would not be a big deal. But in this situation, it is a big deal.
Wow. So if you don't have documentation, say you're of, 40 plus like you and me, can you just call the doctor and say, hey, I just want to be sure. Can I get a shot?
Yeah, exactly. Call your doctor and have a conversation and say, here are my concerns, and do you think that another vaccine would be a smart idea for me? And just make sure that that's the right thing to do. And the doctor can give you another vaccine, or you can even go to the health department and get a vaccine there. You can go, some pharmacies also have them.
We're speaking with Kristen Shamus, reporter at the Detroit Free Press, part of the USA Today Network. She's written a piece entitled, Born Between 1957 and 1989, You May Not Be Protected from the Measles Outbreak. Explain a little bit about what you're going through in the state of Michigan, where you are.
Right. So here in Michigan, we had a traveler come in, and that's the other thing to know, is that measles was thought to be eradicated in the United States in 2000. So we had vaccinated enough of our population where we didn't have measles really affecting us all that heavily. It was usually brought in by someone from a country where they didn't do as routine vaccinations, you know, across their entire population. And so that's what happened in this instance, is that someone who was traveling, came to the United States. We believe that person, or health officials believe that person, picked up the virus in New York City, which is also in the middle of an outbreak, and then brought it here to Michigan. And, then traveled around, you know, that South Oakland community in Michigan and spread it within the community without knowing that he was doing so. And, had those sort of cold-like symptoms, coughing, sneezing, that sort of thing. And it wasn't until the rash broke out and, you know, there was this realization like, oh, no. And at that point, the numbers just started to go up and up and up.
Thanks, Kristen. Kristen Shamus, reporter at the Detroit Free Press. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Congress and the public are expected to receive special counsel Robert Mueller's report on Thursday about Russian interference in the 2016 election. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Attorney General William Barr and other top officials have spent the last 3 weeks redacting the nearly 400-page report, blacking out sensitive information. The Wall Street Journal says his delivery of the document will likely start legal maneuvers that could mean the Supreme Court decides how much of the report becomes public. Mr. Barr said the Mueller probe found President Trump and his campaign didn't conspire with Russia to interfere in the 2016 election. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. Mr. Barr has said he would color code and explain his redactions, but the release of the document is unlikely to quiet Democrats' demands for access to the full report. The report could determine the tone of the rest of the Trump presidency. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, experts are assessing the black and shell of Paris's iconic Notre Dame Cathedral to establish next steps to save what remains after a devastating fire destroyed much of the almost 900-year-old building. With a fire that broke out last evening and quickly consumed the cathedral, now extinguished, attention is turning to ensuring the structural integrity of the remaining building. Journalist Mikey Kay describes the crowds around the cathedral on ABC.
There were hundreds and hundreds of people that had surrounded the Île Saint-Louis, which is the island that the cathedral is on, and they were mourning, they were grieving.
Architects and other experts will meet at the cathedral today to determine if the structure is stable and what the next steps will be. A federal judge has ordered that a Chinese woman arrested for entering President Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort without authorization be held in jail while she awaits trial. Prosecutors say the 33-year-old had a cache of electronics when she was detained, including a device that can detect hidden cameras, 4 cell phones, and 9 UBS drives. The judge denied bond at a detention hearing yesterday, saying there is a serious risk she would flee ahead of trial. The World Health Organization says the number of measles cases reported worldwide in the first 3 months of 2019 has tripled compared with the same time last year. The UN body says all regions of the world are seeing outbreaks. Africa witnessed the most dramatic rise, up 700%. The agency says actual numbers may be far greater, since only 1 in 10 cases globally are reported. It was the largest postseason comeback in NBA history. The Clippers, down 31 points at one point, came back to edge the Warriors 135-131 last night, and even their first-round playoff series at one game apiece. Clippers coach Doc Rivers.
You're down 30 on the road to anybody, and you come back, it's special. But that's what was special, not winning a game. You can hear them in the locker room. They're not talking about that. They're talking about coming back and winning.
The comeback topped a 29-point rally by the Lakers in the 1989 Western Conference semifinals over Seattle.
This wasn't like some first-half lead. It was like 7 minutes to go. In the third quarter, they were up 31.
And it was against the Warriors.
Against the Warriors.
Thing. Yeah.
Well, they go to like a 2-2 zone? They just like leave a man out?
I think they just, whatever.
Goodness.
Mailed it in.
Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. There are lucky people who identify their passion early on and find work that allows them to pursue it. But for many, a passionate pursuit is elusive or problematic. Some never find it. They start down another path and keep trudging forward. Others set off passionate about their work but lose joy in it along the way. Many keep laboring so hard at work they initially love that they ultimately burn themselves out. How do we find the mojo or get it back? Here's Wall Street Journal columnist Elizabeth Bernstein. Elizabeth, what do you have?
So I wanted to look at how basically a lot of people feel burnt out. We all start out and we think we're going to, you know, do something we love. And in fact, we're sort of raised this way. There's a cultural bent for following our passion, and it comes at us everywhere. So many graduation speakers talk about it when we graduate. Right. Oprah tells us, you know, find your pursuit, you know, find what motivates you, your purpose. She's always talking about purpose. Nike, just do it. And so we're sort of got this in our cells, like in our fiber, let's do something important, we're going to do it. But that doesn't pay the bills always, right? So you get set off on life, and suddenly you're, even if you chose a job or a career you love, like it can be exhausting, it can feel joyless. Some people never get to follow their passion. They might go into a family business or do something they're pushed into doing, and you know it's never what they really wanted. And so I think it's a very common feeling after years of work to feel like, whoa, there's not a lot of joy in this. Am I really doing what I wanted to do with my life? What do I do now?
You know, and money's not always the answer. I think, as you point out, sort of reading between the lines, when you open up talking about this guy, Freeman Wood, who seemed to have some decent financial positions, but it just wasn't doing it for him.
Yeah, money's not the answer. I mean, certainly money to be able to pay the bills and not, you know, be stressed and have a nice life is a good and important thing. You know, it can be wonderful, but money does not make you happy. And I think the people who know this best are the people who have money. So money can alleviate stress and is necessary in our society. But, you know, you can have a lot of money and still have a fairly joyless life. And Freeman is an example. Freeman is actually a good friend of mine. So somebody I chose to write about because he has a very interesting story. I don't always write about people I know. But he did well successfully on Wall Street, working for the Fed, working in finance, and had some nice things that money can buy and beautiful family, but felt like sort of an emptiness deep down. Like, what am I doing? I really don't like going to work every day. I'm on a plane every few days. I'm exhausted and miserable. And so he made some hard choices and sort of lined himself up. He'd always wanted to sort of explore the world. He didn't know exactly what he wanted to do, but he's very connected to nature. And he lined himself up thinking with very specific steps, how can I leave this sort of treadmill I'm on and do something that's more aligned with like who I feel deep inside me? And he's not quite there. He doesn't know exactly what he's going to do next. He left his job and he biked across the country. That was one thing to sort of get back to himself. He biked from L.A., just finished, to St. Augustine, Florida. And in that process, he sort of got back to who he is. And I thought that was really illustrative. And he's going to figure out next, you know, what he'll do financially.
It's Wall Street Journal columnist Elizabeth Bernstein. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You know what feels great? Paying off high-interest credit cards, getting a lower rate, and saving money. Refinance your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Get a fixed rate as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay. It's so fast, you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Want to save even more? Our listeners get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/deal. That's LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/deal. LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, so you can have complete peace of mind. Give yourself further peace of mind with those monthly bills by eliminating debt on those insanely high credit cards by turning to LightStream. Subject to credit approval, the rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/deal for more information. That's lightstream.com/deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome to Tuesday, April 16. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Notre Dame Cathedral has been saved after French firefighters worked all night to save it from a devastating fire. The Mueller report will be given to Congress and the public on Thursday. Measles cases continue to spike in the U.S. Funeral today for former South Carolina Senator Fritz Hollings. Walmart today launches a new subscription service for kids' clothing. And the Marine with a remarkable finish at the Boston Marathon yesterday. That story in about 20 minutes. The next chance for Tiger Woods to approach the record of 18 majors by Jack Nicklaus comes next month at Bethpage Black on New York's Long Island at the PGA Championship. Tiger currently sits at 15 majors. Can he carry momentum from Sunday's victory at the Masters? Insight from Mike Lupica, co-host of a podcast called The Sports Reporters from Compass Media Networks, our parent. Mike, how do you see it?
Michael Jordan was the greatest star, and this is no disrespect to Serena, but she hasn't, despite her portfolio, been as big a star of the three guys I'm going to mention. Michael Jordan was the biggest star in American sports. Then Tiger Woods was the biggest star in American sports. Then LeBron James became the biggest star in American sports. That torch never gets passed back until Augusta, when he won his 15th major, he won his fifth Masters, won his first major in 11 years, won his first Masters in 14 years, won his next Masters 22 years after his first. Everything that made him the kind of star he was, the way he changed the face of golf, literally and figuratively, the way he made non-golf fans watch golf again, all of that came rushing back, and he beat the guy who beat him at the British Open last year. He beat the kid, Koepka, who beat him at the PGA. Mm-hmm. He finally came from behind to win a major on a Sunday.
Given his self-inflicted personal wounds, why is it that fans have embraced him again?
Because everybody likes a redemption story. Everybody likes a second act. The kind of scandals that he was involved in were self-inflicted. And then on top of everything that he did to himself, his body started to betray him. And he got this fusion surgery on his back, which I don't even understand. And somehow at the age of 43... at the time when I think only Mickelson's swing is getting faster as he gets older, and at a time when putting strokes begin to betray you, again, he was everything he had ever been.
Speaking with Mike Lupica, sports writer, author, co-host of the Sports Reporters podcast, produced by Compass Media Networks, our parent company. At the age of 43, do you feel now that catching Nicklaus is within his grasp?
Well, I mean, if he's going to stay healthy, yes. I told Mitch on our last podcast last Thursday. I said I'm not going to be surprised if he wins the Masters. Gordon, I've played golf since I was 9 years old. I've played it at a pretty high level occasionally. I love golf. I love the history of golf. Did I think he was going to do this at 43? No. But once he won at Eastlake last year, and then I saw him. He kicked away the British Open, okay? And he just got beat by a better golfer that day at Belrive at the PGA. So, no, none of this is – everything is back in play now if he stays healthy. And the only thing I will caution people, for all the people who now want to call this the greatest comeback ever, okay, I encourage them to Google the following – Ben Hogan accident.
Thank you. And I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
Then go look. I'm stuck on this. Okay. And it doesn't diminish what Tiger did. Please go Google Ben Hogan accident and look what his car looked like after it got hit by a bus on a Texas night. I believe it was 1950. Maybe it was 1949. Okay. He saved his wife's life. He was given the last rites. And after that, came back and not only played the best golf of his career, Gordon, in 1953, if there wasn't a scheduling overlap between the PGA and the British Open, he probably would have won the Grand Slam.
Mm-hmm. How about his attitude change? Right, I mean, he got a tongue lashing by the head of Augusta, right, when he first came back. But he's different now. He's been different since he's been on the course. Like his peers, I think, tend to like him a little more this time.
I think he has everything that he presents to the public, and I won't presume to say that I know him. And I never confuse the person a celebrity wants us to think they are with who they might really be. He seems to be more human. He seems to be enjoying himself more. It seems that being a dad has transformed him as well. But yes, he seems to be a better guy, having picked himself up.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Lupica, co-host of a podcast called The Sports Reporters from Compass Media Networks. Reminder, by the way, we can catch up on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter at Gordon Deal. It's 20 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, some would call this persistence, while others might call it the definition of insanity. Either way, a South Carolina man said his $100,000 lottery jackpot came at the end of more than 20 years of playing drawing games using the same set of numbers. The man said he had his numbers 2, 5, 17, 26, and 27 memorized, which is understandable after two decades. They are also memorable for where they came from, family birthdays and anniversaries. And if you think winning $100,000 would make him retire these lucky numbers, you'd be wrong. He told lottery officials he still plans to play using the same numbers.
Yeah.
So he still plans to play.
Yep.
That's number one. Mm-hmm. And yes, we're going to use the same numbers.
Well, if the payoff is every 20 years.
Yeah.
for $100,000, is it worth it?
Yeah, but I don't know. We got to do the math on this. How much has he spent in 20 years on lottery tickets?
If he's buying just one ticket,
yeah,
per week, I guess you could probably make the argument that that was better spent on the lottery than invested,
right.
And you know, where it might compound. I don't know. But
I suppose
if you were guaranteed to win every 20 years,
yeah,
minimum $100,000,
right?
Would you make the effort?
I think you do. Well, sure. I guess if you were guaranteed.
At one ticket a week, yeah,
If lottery officials could make that guarantee, I think we'd all be playing more often.
Yes. I'm not. I've tried that once in a while, like to pick the numbers based on birthdays and dates. I'm not that good.
I think I'd last about like two or three times with the same numbers, and then I'd want to change them. I have no patience for that.
They'd become unlucky numbers.
Yes.
just give me the quick pick or whatever they call it. Yeah.
And we have another very important question to tackle this morning, Gordon. How do you spell donut? The spelling of this delicious treat with a hole in the middle has apparently been called into question recently. According to Fox News, a woman named Molly Jackson posted a poll on Twitter last week asking for users to weigh in, and the results were pretty decisive. We're all spelling it wrong. 87% of respondents say they spell it donut, D-O-N-U-T, while only 13% include the U-G-H in the middle. This all prompted the Daily Mail to do a deep dive on the origins of donut, and they found out that, yes, the word donut came to be because the treat is made using dough. So why have we all shortened it? Should we blame Dunkin', which always used the five-letter version before dropping the word altogether from their signage? Well, not necessarily. The first known printed use of donut, D-O-N-U-T, goes all the way back to 1900, long before Dunkin' opened its doors.
Wow.
The spelling caught on, and as far back as the 1920s and 30s, columnists were railing about the decline of the fully doughy donut spelling. However, it wasn't until after Dunkin' opened its doors in the 1950s that the contraction really caught fire here in the States.
Mm.
So it was around, but then Dunkin' came around, and then basically became ubiquitous, and now that's how we all think that donut is actually spelled.
I see.
When it's not.
I'm the five-letter guy.
Yeah.
Just get to the point. There's no need.
Yeah.
In the U.S., like, we add so many letters needlessly to things.
Yes. It's just, like, things as short as possible.
It's impossible.
But, I mean, here, in places where you don't have Dunkin' Donuts as prevalent, maybe out west. I mean, here on the East Coast, there's a Dunkin' Donuts on every corner. So we've just grown up knowing that's how you spell it. There are places where Dunkin' Donuts is not really around, and maybe they spell it more with the U-G-H. I don't know.
Maybe it's the nature of the pastry industry.
Because
Krispy Kreme, for example, uses deliberate misspellings even in the title of the business.
right?
Maybe we're onto something here.
It's all marketing.
Yeah, as long as it's Boston Cream, what difference does it make? 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
This human resources professional is a rock star thanks to Kronos. And this is her hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm the dream and you should know that.
Now we're engaging all the best people.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Thanks for spending time with us. Do you negotiate with your credit card company? Maybe you should. Women were far less likely than men to ask their credit card issuer for more leniency or better terms on paying late fees or interest rates. That's according to a new survey of more than 1,200 people by the personal finance website Compare Cards. Despite that, women who did ask their credit card companies for a break were just as successful as men in securing whatever their required changes to the card's terms. MarketWatch says the main factor behind why more consumers are not requesting better terms from their credit card companies is a lack of awareness. Simply put, many consumers don't even realize they can ask these questions. By not doing so, they're wasting money. Consumers were granted an average APR reduction of 6 percentage points. So for a consumer with $5,000 in balance on a credit card and an APR of 24%, lowering the interest rate to 18% would save you $450 in interest. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, firefighters doused the smoldering ruins of Notre Dame with water today, the morning after a raging inferno swept through the Gothic cathedral in the heart of Paris. As investigators tried to establish what started the fire, hundreds of firemen battled the blaze, which consumed the roof and collapsed the 8-centuries-old cathedral's spire for more than 8 hours before bringing it under control, saving its bell towers and outer walls. Sky News News aired French President Emmanuel Macron's translated remarks.
Je veux aussi avoir une pensée pour l'ensemble
I feel her emotion and those of everyone in the city.
Parce que Notre-Dame de Paris, c'est notre histoire.
Thoughts too for
notre
all
littérature,
of
notre imaginaire.
The Paris prosecutor's office says it has launched an inquiry into the fire, but working under the assumption it was accidental. Notre Dame is visited by more than 13 million people annually. Attorney General William Barr expects to provide special counsel Robert Mueller's report to Congress and the public on Thursday. Portions of the 400-page report of the investigation into Russian election interference will be blacked out, which is unlikely to quiet Democrats' demands for access to the full report. Former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld says he will challenge President Trump for the Republican presidential nomination, beginning a long-shot quest against an incumbent. In a written announcement, the 73-year-old said it was time to return to the principles of Lincoln: equality, dignity, and opportunity for all. An actress who had several big roles in sitcoms as a small-voiced character has died. Georgia Engel died on Friday in Princeton, New Jersey. She was 70. No cause of death is known because Engel was a Christian Scientist and didn't see doctors. She will be best remembered for her role as Georgette on The Mary Tyler Moore Show. She also had recurring roles on Everybody Loves Raymond and Hot in Cleveland. And Gordon, you and I weren't part of this, but a record 17.4 million people tuned in Sunday night for the beginning of the end of HBO's Game of Thrones. The show, which entered its eighth and final season this week, is the most popular show in HBO's history, topping the mafia drama The Sopranos. Nielsen says the 17.4 million figure will likely grow significantly when viewing from DVRs and on demand are added in.
And you and I were talking off air briefly. That's their biggest number
ever? That's their biggest number.
Wow. It's good. My mom is included in that bunch. She watches. They got a loyalist there.
Oh, that's great.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. A Marine who ran the Boston Marathon in honor of three men he served alongside crawled across the finish line yesterday as his body almost gave up, but his mind did not. 31-year-old Micah Herndon of Ohio had to physically drag his body along the pavement to finish the race, with viral videos showing onlookers cheering him for the final few yards. The Record Courier says Mr. Herndon served several deployments in Iraq and Afghanistan. During a tour in Afghanistan in 2010, three people he was with were killed when they were targeted by an IED. Marines Mark Juarez and Matthew Ballard and a British journalist named Rupert Hamer were the ones who died. He finished the race in just over 3.5 hours. He said that when his feet got hurt or he got tired from running, he kept saying their names out loud to himself. By the way, he had these orange Nike sneakers he posted a picture of on social media. Sentimental detail, though, three small golden plates featured the names of those people weaved in with the shoelaces. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.